Accession number 32137, reel 3.
And when you first started,
yep.
How deep or how far forward was the tunnel when you started? Or did you start from
scratch? Well, I started right at the beginning. And the first part of it, I didn't do it, but somebody built a tray which went over the entrance to the tunnel. And the initial part of digging, first of all, we had a lecture going on the ground with blankets all over the place. And the first bits of earth were dug out and put under the blanket. They didn't see them because we only had a patrol of a couple of Italian soldiers went right round the camp. And we had watchers, so as soon as the patrol had gone by, we could get cracking, and when it came back, we had to stop. That sort of thing.
We should explain actually where the hole was, where the entrance was relative to the camp. It was outside.
Yes, it was outside. There was a path that went round the camp, and we had a big. It was a sort of U-shaped building. And we were in the left-hand ring. The right-hand ring was actually the dining hall or something. Anyway, this path went right round the camp, and we dug a square hole. It was only about 2 foot square for this tray to go in. So you could dig a hole, put the tray in, and push the earth over the top. Nobody knew it was there. That was just outside the window of our toilet, really, washroom place.
And that was a quiet area. You could work there.
As I say, we had the watchers in various places. They could always keep an eye on wherever any Italians were. Like everywhere else, having spread some of it around, a lot of people put it down their trousers and walked around the camp, you know, and just dropped it, tied a bit of string round at first and dropped. But then eventually, as I also said, we dumped it in this well. Then we had a well because the water supply in the camp was not adequate for the camp. They had a water tower, but there was never sufficient water for anything we needed. And the only way you could get water just for the odd wash or anything else was it from this well. And what we did was the early part of the excavation, we transported it and dumped it in the well. Well, of course, eventually the earth gradually filled it in, and there wasn't very much water left. So we complained. I say we, I have to say we because, you know, I was in it sometimes I wasn't. But we complained to the Italians that it was drying up. And so they put a couple of chaps down there and dug it all out again. that really was fantastic. Just shows how stupid they were.
So if you hadn't had the well in the camp,
It would have been more difficult, actually. But all the buildings were U-shaped, and they all had a well, you see. So presumably the other tunnels were doing the same thing.
How long did it take you to dig your tunnel altogether this
year? It was about 6 months altogether, and it was about 150 feet long. And it went through two sewers, and under the wall of the camp, which was a 10-foot-high wall and had a pretty heavy foundation, we didn't go through the bricks. We went under the concrete. And that was silly in a way because it used to be very wet there, you know. If it did rain or anything, that was any water about it, it all went down to the lowest part. So you were sort of sliding through mud under the tunnel till you got to the other side.
And how much clearance did you have above you in the tunnel? Were you sort of on your tummy and then just a little space above you?
The first part of it was under this footpath. So we had the footpath as a top. So we didn't need any protection at the top. But having got past the footpath, it went over a track that was used by a refuse car, you know, used to come every day, actually. And so, and as we were only at that stage 2 feet below the surface, we had to then try and put some support in there, which we did. It was made from people gave up their stools or a bit of their bed slats, because they were wooden beds, and we made called sets, which I think they must have gone for about 10 feet altogether, a lot of them, but they never collapsed. The tunnel always remained quite firm. How we got it, I don't know. We got a sort of hammer, it was a sort of, had a chisel end on one side and just a thing for knocking nails on the other. How we got it, I don't know. It was probably some Italian was given a few cigarettes and said, could we have that miniature? Anyway, that was the instrument that we used to knock through the sewers. Now, the sewers were oval and quite large, actually, because eventually you could call up, and which I did. But we had to be careful, or to be sure, that the water level was low. And of course, as the water was so sparse in the camp, we knew that it was probably pretty low, either rainwater or the other stuff that came out of the other places. So a hole was made in it temporarily, you know, to see where the water was, and it proved that the water was right down there. So we made the holes and then decided that it was a good idea if we could put some of our excavated material up the sill. I mean, we wouldn't have to take it out then. And that's what happened. Again, we used bits of stools and bits of wood to make a platform, leaving about 6 to 9 inches below it for the water to flow. And all the excavated material was put up. I don't know how they got repaired it all, I don't know. Because this happened in two sewers. One was for the rainwater and the other one was for proper sewage, you know. And I remember on one occasion I was up the sewer drawing. We had a little box on like a sledge, it was really, to put the earth in. I was pulling this up, and while I was pulling it up, a rat ran over me. I thought, oh my God, you know, but I never saw it again. But that was just a sign of where we were. You know, you had to pull this up, tip the box out, pull the wire, and they take it back again.
So that was the way you did it. That was a little, yeah. Incredible. And so how long would you spend in a day doing that digging?
I would have, well, of course, you see, there was, roll call was at 6 o'clock. I would think we were down, it may have been two shifts a day, each of 2 hours, didn't do more than 2 hours. That was long enough, you know, in the dark, well, almost dark all the way, and in a rather uncomfortable position.
And lack of air as well.
Yeah, well, lack of air. At first, the air wasn't too bad, because at the end of this footpath, there was a gully which drained the road or something. And some of the, you could get some air coming through this. I don't know how it came in, but up to there, it wasn't too bad. But after that, it was poor. And that's when we had to make arrangements to pump some air up there to keep the primitive light going. We never had any, you see, that's another thing. In the programmes about wartime tunnels, they all seem to have electricity and lights going up. We never had anything like that. It was pitch dark all the time.
And what about the pump then? How did you
make when we got to the position where there was insufficient air to keep the things alight, we had to devise something to pump a bit of air up. And this was, I didn't make it, but it was made out of a huge Italian tomato tin. Pure, it was tomato puree, I think. Anyway, it was quite large, and a fan was built. The rest of it was nearly all wood, actually. Anyway, it was a fan that you turn the handle. It was a sort of, you had a big wheel that turned and a small wheel that operated so that it went through more quickly, the small wheel being much quicker. And the we had to have a pipeline up to the surface where we were digging, and that was made out of Red Cross parcel tin, wrapped in old ground sheet or anything that you could wrap it in. It worked very well indeed.
You benefited from it. You could feel better air coming.
Yes, you could. It will. It did work.
So you got this tunnel, and it came up. Where did you know where it had come up? Obviously, you knew you'd gone under the wall, but did you know where
it came up? I didn't quite know, but it was obviously in somebody's garden at the back there, because he found it in the end. But
he wasn't aware of it to begin with then?
I think we were aware that there was also some wire outside the wall. So we had to get beyond that. I don't know how we found out, but there was wire. So we had to go about another 10 yards beyond the wall before we could come up. Where have we got to? We'd got through these sewers, stored the earth in the sewers, and the next thing we came to was the main wall around the camp. And we decided not to go through the wall because of the noise. And we went under the wall, and that was really a bit grim, because it was nearly always wet there, you know, and you were slithered through until you came up on the other side. Well, you know, coming out of the tunnel after a shift, you're covered in mud. Luckily, you see, they had some men in our toilet area with buckets of water, but in cold water too, which they threw over you to make sure that you get clean again.
Really,
the hair as well, everywhere.
Well, absolutely, because it's a bit of a giveaway if any of the Italians have seen it.
Yeah. But that really, well, you know, you got used to it in the end, but it was blooming cold, you know, thrown over you like one after the other until you because all we had, at least I did, most of the others, was a pair of pants. Otherwise, you were naked. And so therefore, you were absolutely covered in mud and all over.
We've heard about the tunnel. The tunnel is just about dug. And just as you're sort of ready with it, as I understand, you got the news that the Italians had capitulated.
That's right, yeah.
Could you describe that day when you found out that Italy wasn't in the war anymore?
Well, it was just a feeling of exhilaration. Everybody, you know, there were cheers and shouts all over the camp. Oh, we'll all be going home soon, that sort of thing. And, and then everybody started getting rid of stuff in their parcels, you know, having a feed. Instead of saving it all, we thought, well, there's no point in saving it. We just get rid of it. And then, we were told that we had to stay put in the camp.
How did you find out of the news of the capitulation? Because you were living your day-to-day life in the camp. You'd sort of, in a way, got used to it. You knew the war would end sometime, but how did you actually get that news?
Well, I think we had some home-built radio in, that we got bits of news. It wasn't very good, actually. But also, I think the Italians probably told us that the war is over now for us.
What were the Italians' attitudes once they knew that they weren't your guards anymore?
I think basically they were relieved. I don't, you know, they didn't never had their hearts in the war, and I found that all the way down during the whole period when I was wandering down through southern Italy, they all seemed quite relieved that it was all over, and they were very glad and pleased to try and help us.
So what did the guards do? Can you remember what they did?
Well, the camp was surrounded by a wall about 15 feet high, and at various places there were sentry boxes on top of the wall. Well, I think all that happened was they came out and came into the camp, and there was nobody in the boxes, in the sentry boxes at all. They were very friendly, and they obviously wanted us to get out and go home, as it were. And there was a main road that went by, and the Germans had patrols that went by, and they came to the camp to try and find out what was there. And one of the ideas, the Italians dressed in white coats, and they said it was a camp for demented people. You know, it was a camp for people who I can't think of the word.
Yeah, sort of. Yes, like a sort of mental institution. Or
that's right, mental institution. That's right.
So they did that to disguise the fact that you were British.
That's
from
right.
The Germans,
yeah,
that from
the
sort of saving
so,
you.
Yeah, so that really was a great thing. Well, and that worked for a while, but I think the Germans later on they twigged that there was a bit of nonsense going on here, and about three we'd been sort of almost free for 3 days. Well, I mean, we were told by the senior SBO, they call it, senior British officer, that he'd had instruction that we would stay put because we were then going to be all collected and taken home. But the point was, it was so silly, really, because the Germans had immediately come down and taken over everything that lived the previously was occupied by the Italian army. So therefore, the British troops at that time were well down in the south of Italy, and it transpired in the end, I found out afterwards, that it took them 6 months to get up to Chieti. So therefore, we could have stayed in the camp for 6 months waiting for them to come. Well, what happened instead was after 3 days, we woke up on the morning of the fourth day and the whole camp was surrounded by German guards. All these sentry boxes were manned by much more efficient looking Germans than Italians. So, I mean, obviously, hearts dropped. I don't know, most of them obviously seemed to have accept the fact that they were not going to be relieved by the British, but they were going to be transported to Germany.
So did German guards come into the camp and talk to you? And
no, they didn't talk to us. I mean, they just stayed put. But the we had roll calls and things, you know, to make sure that the Germans who was there. I don't think the Italians were very helpful in giving them a list of people, because obviously when we had decided that we were going to use the tunnel, they had roll calls after that, and
they didn't know who was there.
That's right.
So after 3 days, the Germans appeared, as you say, hearts dropped. So what did you do next?
Well, we all got together, the escape people got together and decided what to do, what we wanted to do. And they said that our particular tunnel, they reckoned we could have had 17 people in there, lying in there, waiting for the Germans to take out all the other prisoners in the camp and and leave the camp free. And they reckon that if we were down there for 36 hours, that would probably be enough. And that was really what we did. We just got down into the tunnel. And luckily, there was one of our own people was able to sort of give us a message down. I don't know how they did it, because he used to shout down or something that the Germans are all gone, or that they would be gone in a certain amount of time. First of all, this man who'd given us the information, he said, look, the Germans have decided they're not going to move anybody for 24 hours, you know. So what we did, we were in the tunnel then, we came out, because, you know, what's the point of sticking down there if we didn't need to? We were absolutely filthy too, because we went down into the tunnel just with a pair of pants on and carried our other gear with us, because, you know, there wasn't room for very much anyway. So we had a wash, you know, got tidied up again, and then when it became clear that the Germans were going to clear the camp, we went down again. And that's when we were down for 36 hours.
And can you describe a little bit what it was like being down there?
Well, it was pretty awful, really. Well, you know, you tried to lie down and sleep or do something. And one of the things, I'll tell you this, was called passing the pea tin, because people had to do things. And then we passed this tin all the way up, and the chap nearest the sewer just tipped in the sewer. Well, that went on for a while too, only 36 hours. I think luckily it was only the sort of going for a pee that was necessary. Nobody wanted to do anything else, thank God.
So you were lying, you were prone, you were lying...
Yeah, down. Yeah. You couldn't sit. The only place you could sit up was where we had the machine to pump air, you know, up to the face. And that was, you could sit up there. But everywhere else, it was only a tunnel sufficient to be crawl along, really. So that was it.
And you couldn't move up and down, really, because you were in a row, so you had to stay.
That's right, we just almost stayed put all the time, yeah.
Did your limbs go numb? And
I don't know. I don't know. How it went by, I don't know. We were just lying there, and of course we didn't really talk very much, because we were afraid we might have been heard, you know.
What was the air like in the tunnel when you were lying there for all those hours?
Well, it was... We were in the, obviously, in the first part of the tunnel where the air wasn't too bad. I mean, the air was worse when we got farther on. That's why we had to have some means of pumping a bit of air up to keep the, well, first of all, to be able to breathe properly, and also to oxygen for the lamps, you know, because we didn't have any electricity. It was all tins made from hair oil and a wick, and that was it. That was our lives. It worked, though. I mean.
And did you have anyone lying in that time when you were lying in there who said, "Let me out! I can't bear it"? Or did anyone?
No. They all the ones who had were so determined to escape. Were very good. We never had any like that. But of the, I told you that we reckon 17 could have been lying there waiting to go. Only 11 people actually volunteered. So you see, all these chaps who did a lot of work digging tunnels and doing other things in connection with the tunnel, when it came to the crunch, they didn't want to go.
That's interesting. Because there's quite a divide between the people like you who did try and the people who stayed behind, and we assume they all got deported to the German camp.
Yeah, they did. That. Yeah.
Did any of them explain why they didn't want to go?
Not really. No. We didn't ask. Our tunnel, there must have been at least 40 people involved altogether in various ways. Some of them were only lookouts and that type, but there must have been a lot more people who did a bit of digging, but in the end decided not to go. As a matter of fact, I mean, my particular friend Brettel, he really was a bit worried. He was younger than me. He was 21 in the camp, actually. And there were all sorts of stories about the Germans would come down and chuck a grenade up there and the whole op would be killed all. And he was a bit doubtful whether he wanted to go. And I said to him, look, I've not spent 6 months flogging my guts out to dig this tunnel and then not use it. And that sort of persuaded him, and he did come in yet.
So anyway, we back to the story. We've left you lying in the tunnel.
Yeah.
36 hours. You'd sort of all said that'll work. So yeah. Can you describe to me what happened once you started to move? You're in the tunnel. What did you do next?
Well, of course, what happened, by the way, while we were in, we had already got right through beyond the wall and made another tray in outside the wire and everything to get out. And that must have been in some garden or something of one of the Italian peasants, I don't know what. But while we were in there, there was a hell of a noise at the other end, and we discovered that this chap whose garden we were coming out on had filled in the tunnel. He must have known we were there, but he left it for a while, and he didn't know whether, because the camp had been cleared then, he didn't realise that we were lying down there, but he filled it in. And we decided, it would have taken ages to dig it all out again to get out. So we decided that we would just lie there long enough, hoping that the Germans had cleared the camp and all the guards had gone, and that we would come out into the camp and go over the wall instead of under the wall.
So you stayed another few hours?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we stayed another, I think it was another 12 hours.
So you're in the tunnel, you do another 12 hours,
yeah.
And then what happens?
And then I didn't do it, but I don't know, the two men who were nearest to the entrance to the tunnel very gingerly lifted the lid and to see what was happening. You know, we didn't know whether the Germans had gone. We'd been told that they probably had. Anyway, it proved that they had gone. The lights of the camp were all on, and we decided we'd get out, and that's what we did. We got out, and then there was a lot of movement in other areas, and we thought, oh my God, there are some Germans still here. But it proved that it was another tunnel, and they'd all come out into the camp as well.
At the same time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I believe there were four actual tunnels completed, and I think whether they all did the same as we did, you know, hid down in the tunnel and came out into the camp or not, I don't know. But I understood that about 50 prisoners escaped because of the fact that they've been digging tunnels.
So that was 50 out of about 1,500 of you all,
yeah,
together.
Yeah. I believe a lot more, or quite a few more, got away by jumping off the train, you know, taking them to Germany, because my OC, he jumped off the train because we saw him latterly in England. But there were so few who really escaped, you know, from the camp.
So how did you actually exit the camp then?
Well, straight, I don't know where it came from, but there was some sort of ladder that went up the wall. I think obviously the ladder went up somewhere near one of these sentry posts, and we were able to get on up to the wall and go down on the other side.
What time of day was this, by the way?
Yeah, that's the point.
Was it dark or light?
Well, it must have been dark because all the camp lights were on, actually. Yeah.
Mm. So you had the cover of dark.
I think it was in the evenings. And then we had to... Well, it was gauged so that we could come out in the dark, you know, so that we wouldn't be seeing, actually.